you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by the Peddling Fiction Podcast. If you're looking for another great libertarian podcast out there, I recommend you check out the Peddling Fiction Podcast. It's a funny and informative libertarian podcast from a Rothbardian radical. I've checked out a couple episodes. I think you guys are really going to like what Johnny Profita has to say. In his most recent episode, he explores the Fed interventions in the stock market and how the market is somehow going up while investors are pulling out. I think you guys are going to dig the podcast. It might give you something to do while you're harassing Brian for the next part of the problem. So check out the Peddling Fiction Podcast. This is a lying politician's worst nightmare, destroyer of Keynesian economic fallacies. The link is in the episode description, and we're going to play a short trailer at the end of the show, so make sure you stick around for that. The Peddling Fiction Podcast. All right, let's start the show.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm very excited to have our guest for today's show on. He is one of the people I've been requested, to have as a guest more than anybody else. So very happy that he agreed. Of course, it is John McAfee, who is a computer programmer. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He ran for president on the Libertarian Party back in 2016 and almost won the nomination. And he is just in general one of the most interesting human beings in the world. So I'm very excited to have you on. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, Aiden. Thanks for having me on. I would like to say that if I am one of the most called for guests on your show, I would truly question the quality of my followers. I'm just saying.
Believe me, I've been questioning them all along. They're a group of wild maniacs, but they mean well. They're good people. So you are an international person. You've lived in a lot of different parts of the world, and you've been out of the United States of America for a few years now. What's the latest on this? I heard at one point you were kind of like, let's say, not in good standing with our friends here in the United States federal government. What's your situation these days?
Well, it's gotten worse since it started. Okay, and the 22nd of January of last year, the IRS announced the convening of a grand jury. I found out about it beforehand, and I'm John McAfee. It's hard to keep secrets on me. And they were charging my wife and I and four of our staff with unspecified tax fraud crimes. Now, I haven't paid taxes in 10 years, neither will I ever pay them again, no matter what happens. They're unconstitutional, illegal, and unnecessary. No matter what you may think, but oh, where will we get the money from? Well, where the fuck did it come from before we had income taxes in 1913, when we were the most powerful industrial nation on this planet? We don't have any industry in America anymore. Marginally, the automobile industry, steel is gone. Everything is gone, people. So no, we don't need taxes. But in any case, they left me alone for 8 years. Why? I've already paid over $50 million in taxes, and I haven't received $50 million in services. So I think it's so far been a very unfair deal. But in any case, so 4 days before the grand jury, I took Janice and my entire staff to Miami. We boarded our yacht and sailed to the Bahamas. Which has no income tax and therefore it can't be extradited because it's not a crime in the Bahamas. Tax fraud is not a crime because there's no tax. So, and they had that law internationally to prevent husbands of Muslim men in Iran from demanding America return their wives for the crime of not wearing a veil. Right? So we can't do that, right? We don't. So if it's not a crime in the country you're in, not a crime. Can't be extradited. But I knew they'd come after me anyway, illegally, which they did. They planned a midnight raid on us on the island of Exuma on the 9th, the 9th of April. No, 9th of... Okay, on the 9th of May of last year, we found out about that in advance, and we left that island and sailed 2 days to Cuba before they could collect us. It was going to be a raid. They want to charge us with vague crimes, and once we've been charged with a crime, then, of course, we can be deported anyway. unwanted aliens. So, no, we went to Cuba. We were there for 2 months, and the Cuban military picked up Janice and I and took us in. And the general came in and said, the United States has requested that we, unofficially requested that we return you to them, because there is no official channel. And he said in exchange for various concessions, and we're disinclined to do that. However, you have 72 hours to get out of Cuba and never come back. Why? Because we're fucking embarrassment to them now. So we left. It took us, our captain was in America. It was, everything was in chaos. We barely got out of there, about 16 hours before our time was up. And soldiers came twice a day. Mr. McAfee, are you sure that you're going to be gone in 46 hours? Finally, I said, listen, if I have to swim to Haiti, I'm going to be gone. Don't worry. We didn't have to swim to Haiti, but we should have, because we were 4 days at sea going from Cuba to the Dominican Republic. And as soon as we pulled into the dock, we were boarded by not customs, not the Coast Guard, no, by internal security, and all placed under arrest for vague crimes that were not clear at first. So we were 4 days in jail in the Dominican Republic. But we got out of that with some clever lawyers and some quick thinking. And since then, that was July of last year, we've been underground. We're not telling anybody where we are. We don't have telephones, so we can't be traced by phone. I'm certainly smart enough and experienced enough to keep anybody from locating me on the internet. That's not a possibility, trust me. And so that's how I've been living. We may have to live this way for another year. I don't know. We'll see how things, wow, how they go.
That really is quite a story. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like to be in that situation. You know, as you kind of alluded to, you can say, of course, I completely agree with you. I mean, the income tax is illegal. It's them extraditing you for crimes that are not a law of the land where you are is illegal. But as you know, and as you're living right now, something being illegal doesn't really stop the state from doing it.
Of course not. Please, God. Hang on. Law is controlled by whom? The powerful, the government, for heaven's sakes, please. And the higher up in the law you get, like way up in the FBI, the more power you have. Until finally, you have the power to go, you know, I think it's more convenient just to kill these people.
Yeah.
You think that doesn't happen in America? You think that doesn't happen? Please, God, I know for a fact. Jeffrey Epstein, whether good, bad, or indifferent, if it is not clear that he was touched with some extraordinarily powerful people, well, then move back into your mom's basement. There's nothing you'll be able to get from what I'm saying.
And of course, it's like the weird thing that everybody knows, like every normie in America knows that they'll lie us into a war in the Middle East and kill hundreds of thousands of brown babies over there. So they don't.
Yes.
But then for some reason, they kind of feel like, yeah, but they wouldn't do that here.
No, they wouldn't. No, not in America.
Right.
Yeah. No, not the country that experimented on tens of thousands of poor people throughout the Southwest in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, killing tens of thousands of them,
right?
Testing new medical research. No. That same country, of course, would not whack some poor bastard in jail.
It's almost like people need to be comforted by building up these barriers. So they'll go like, well, that happens in the Middle East, or that happened 40 years ago, or that, but it wouldn't happen right now.
But it won't happen today now. Why? Because you're living today.
Right.
Now, if I'm living, I'm here. Well, it ain't happening on my watch. I haven't seen it. Nobody's got people. It happens in every day, in every age, every month. And season of the fucking year and has since we crawled out of caves and started societies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're an American and you need an example of how the government will act illegally, I mean, just look at the last 3 months. I don't know where in the Bill of Rights it says that if there's a virus, this whole Bill of Rights doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. Okay, yes. Now that's something, isn't it? And yet, police unquestioningly were arresting people on the streets. Well, normally, you read them their rights and tell them what they're charged with. Well, you're charged with leaving your house without permission. Which code of seas is that? Because my lawyer's going to know which law, state, federal, local. Because you just can't pass laws overnight, can you? The mayors can't pass fucking laws, not without a great deal of sometimes voting. No, but they were passed. No. What the fuck happened overnight, people, that you allowed it? I mean, you saw images on social media and television, police beating people after death for the crime of being too close to another human being. Now, did we not have the right to assemble? It didn't say you have the right to assemble, but you must remain 6 feet from everybody. No, we have the right to assemble whether we want to build a fucking pyramid of naked bodies on the beach or whatever. Assembly means a collection of human beings in the same goddamn place. I mean, what would the Million Man March be if everybody had to be 6 feet apart? Well, it would stretch from Los Angeles to New York. Couldn't have happened, could it? You understand how social distancing itself limits the power of the people to do what they do naturally in a crisis? We come together as close as fucking possible, look into each other's eyes, sometimes hug, hold hands for comfort. No, sorry, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. We're passing a law soon.
Yeah, no. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen like it on such a large level, asking so many people at once to really be anti-human. I don't know how else to think of it. Not to stay in your home, not go to church, not go to community events, not be close to other people, as you were just saying. It's really the most anti-human policy on such a broad level in my lifetime, certainly.
Yeah, well, I think in many of our lifetimes, my friend. No, so, but if you run the math of what's happening with social distancing, you can cram, 100,000 people on a football field has been done many times. With social distancing, how many people do you think you can get on a football field? Less than 2,000. Less than 2,000 of it. 1/50th. So what are you doing? You are limiting the power of the people to collect by claiming their power of collection. Because when you get a bunch of people together, I promise you, the world changes. The million man, you name it, when we all get out and stand together, shoulder to shoulder, we exercise the power of the populace. When we can no longer stand shoulder to shoulder, and as be 6 feet this way, 6 feet this way, 6 feet this way. Good God Almighty, that's 144 square feet per person.
Yeah.
Run the numbers, people. No, so we can't assemble anymore. There's not enough room on the planet to get even the city of Chicago standing in a fucking group if we have to be 6 feet from everybody else.
Yeah, and at a time
to me,
when
this is the scariest thing. I'm sorry. To me, this is the scariest thing.
Yeah,
it's not just staying indoors. They can't keep us indoors forever, else the society will collapse, and so will the government, and all of their toys won't be able to be fixed, and so on. No, but they can force us, maybe, to stand 6 feet from each other if we are in public, and that is the ultimate loss of freedom, people, because it is the ultimate loss of collective power. Please look at history. Look at those French Revolution, the Russian. Nothing happened until we were jammed shoulder to shoulder in the fucking street, showing strength in the millions right under the noses of those with the guns, the power, because that scares them. They have no power without us. But yeah. If we can't do that anymore, if we can just barely be seen as a crowd, we lose that power.
Yeah, that's right. It's because the whole the state power is really based on this big illusion.
Yes,
that you don't understand how much they are outnumbered. If people understand how many more of us there are than them, you realize it doesn't matter how many guns they have.
Yes, and also if they understand that power is a pyramid, and that we the people are on the bottom. We mine the coal. Process the foods and ship the goods and repair the yachts and custom airplanes that those in power have. We drive the cars, we polish them, clean them, manufacture them. No, that's us. Without us, there's nothing to understand. That entire level above the people, starting with mayors at the bottom, I guess, and going up to presidents, collapses. So that's our power, but only if we can exercise it.
Right.
And it can't be exercised unless we can collect, unless we can convene, assemble. Do you understand that the most powerful of all the rights is the right to assembly? In the story of people.
No, you're right. And it's at a time when we need that presence from people more than ever. All right, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Heshi Socks. If you're not aware, the brand new collection has been released. They're gorgeous, beautiful socks, and they still have that same great feel that Heshi Socks are known for. They're new styles, new colors, but you still get the comfort that only Heshi Socks delivers. If you guys are new to the podcast, you may not know, these are my favorite socks. They've been our sponsor for a long time. I love them. I wear them almost every day. If you're tired of your feet hurting at the end of a day, particularly if you've been wearing dress shoes, HeshiSocks.com will solve this problem for you. Most fashion and dress socks are expensive, but they're poorly constructed and they provide zero protection. Not Heshi Socks.
Heshi socks are cushioned in the heel, foot, and toe. They have arch support in the center so your feet don't slosh around. They're made with breathable Pima cotton. They're antimicrobial, so they kill the stink. So your feet smell good, they feel good, and they're also designed to stay up so you don't have to pull at your socks all day long. I hate that. HeshiSocks.com is the place to go. HeshiSocks.com. Promo code PROBLEM30 will get you 30% off your entire order. Fashion, basic, ankle socks, they got it all. HeshiSocks.com, promo code PROBLEM30 for 30% off. All right, let's get back into the show. One of the things I've really noticed throughout this whole COVID lockdown, you know, violation of civil liberties on every level is how much authoritarianism really relies on the people buying into it. So even if you think about the Soviet Union, you were getting ratted out by your neighbor. That's true in North Korea today still. And that's really what you realize is that they have to get, it's not just a top down from the government thing. The government has to convince the people to be ratting out their own neighbors for, you know, being within 6 feet of somebody else. And if you don't have that, there's no way to enforce their rules. And it's really creepy to see Americans turning on their fellow Americans.
Yes. And some get great glee out of it, apparently. And here's why it happens. Everybody thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. But there can't be any right if everybody's wrong, people. Do you see this? Maybe there is no right or wrong, but what is clearly unhelpful, unproductive, and socially destructive is acting as if your beliefs are the only beliefs that are correct. That's what's destroying society, always has. I mean, you see it from the smallest to the largest. You see the Karens in the street turning people in. You see the gross, powerful two political parties in America, Republicans and Democrats. I'm surprised they're not choking each other across the aisle in Congress. But no, I mean, it's almost bloodshed, anger and hatred. Let's impeach the president. Let's blame the Democrats. Let's blame. No. Does that help us, the people? I mean, we've elected these motherfuckers, and what are they doing instead of going out and getting a good job for the government, earning some money for the government rather than stealing from us, prosecute those who are taking our money and putting it in their pockets. Instead of doing that shit, they're choking each other and throwing sticks and stones like fucking children. No, this is what's destroying America. From the top to the bottom, the I'm right, you're wrong. And you believe you're right because, well, fuck me. You're you. You have to fucking be right. I mean, how could you be wrong? Because, listen, why don't you take a look at yourself? Yous out there. What is the most important thing in the world? You. Who's the most important person? You. Who would never turn their back on you, but everybody else might, and you would turn your back on the world. What's the biggest thing in the universe? You, in terms of importance. You tiny spark of flesh and bone in a universe that dwarfs you to the point not of just insignificance, but of virtual non-existence, people. And yet you are the center of your universe. So how the fuck could you be wrong? See, this is the problem that everybody thinks using that same formula. Why? It's a formula that's been passed to us through our genes, through our society, through our moms and dads and schools, not in any direct, overt way. Of course not. Of course not. But in the system of culture, identity. Who is it that's identifying? You are. You're identifying with Republicans, or you're identifying with the Democrats, you're identifying with gun owners, or you're identifying with pacifists, or you're identifying with Christianity, or you're identifying with the Muslim faith, or Buddhism. we'll solve the problem of ourselves first, people. Because really, we've simply gone too far in that. I mean, when I was growing up, my father and grandfather specifically made sure I understood how insignificant I was whenever I thought that I was important. Not through any physical discipline, but through simply ignoring me as if, you listen, you think you're important, you don't exist. Or through outright telling me that whatever I think is true can't be unless I find it on my own. Because otherwise it's simply borrowed. I mean, from mom and dad, school, from police, from the laws, from the government, from television, from books, from your friends. So no, but that's not being done anymore. I don't know why. Is it the new math? Is it the Common Core education system? I'm just not sure. And if none of this makes any sense, it's probably explainable by the fact that this is my third bottle. Third. Wait a second. Let me just show you something here. So the trash is cleaned out every day. This is just from today, people. Right.
Well, there you go. But yeah. It seems to be bringing you some wisdom, because I think that it's a really excellent,
No, I don't think so. I think it's dulling what little wisdom I once had.
Well, it hasn't. You might need a little more, because I do think there is wisdom in that, and it's one of the things that's missing in humanity the most these days is the humility. I mean, there's always something that's attracted me to one of the reasons why I'm a libertarian is that it seemed to me like it is inherently a very humble philosophy that says I can't be certain I'm right about everything, and so I would never dream to force anything on you, because you know, like, I could be wrong. You want to maintain that. And you know, I think when you were speculating about is it Common Core, is it these other things, you know, I think part of it is that as the state's grown bigger and bigger, it destroys community ties more and more.
Yes.
And people are
Yes.
more and more isolated. And when you're Yes. part of a group, when you're together, which goes back to what you were talking about with the social distancing, it forces a little bit of humility on you, because you realize you're just one part of a bigger
yes,
thing.
Yes,
when
yes.
You're living
it's when
isolated,
you're alone that you're most important. Think
yes,
about it.
That's right. Because you're all that exists.
That's it. And all you are is an entity with desires and wants and hopes and anticipations. That's all you are. And then another person comes into your life and manage, because they have the same thing, and if you manage to rub off a little bit of that rough raw egoism that most of us start developing at the age of two.
Right. You know what I wanted to ask you about, because you're really the person to ask about this stuff. What do you think, because now, right, we've seen the clampdown on civil liberties, the insistence on social distancing, there's the you know, the just looting the American people on a level that is, even for the last few years, just never been seen before in such a short period of time. But now the talk is that, well, you know, we can't ever reopen until we start this social social tracing or tracking, whatever they're calling
yes.
it now, where
yes.
so we're gonna mine your cell phone data to see who you've been around and where you've been. This
yes.
freaks me out.
It should. It should freak everybody out. I mean, you've got countries like Australia considering the same thing. They've had fewer than 2,000 deaths out of 28 million people. Please, do you understand the ridiculousness? I mean, 10 times as many people have died from the flu in Australia during the same period of time. And it's been happening every goddamn year. But no, because of coronavirus, we have to now start tracking people. I don't know. This is a devious, false flag, if it is one. I mean, one of the deepest and deadliest that human history has experienced, involving multiple countries, you understand?
Yeah. Well, this seems to be what the plan, I mean, whether it's a false flag or not is almost irrelevant to how scary the idea of social tracing is, that the government is now going to not only know where you are at all times, but is going to be able to trace everybody you've come in contact with. You know, I thought the Edward Snowden revelations were about the creepiest thing I could have heard of.
No, this is the creepiest thing.
This is the creepiest
of all things, my friend. No, I'm horrified that people are going, oh, well, that'll make us safer. What universe is that a safe thing in? I mean, I'd like to move there because it's got to be operating on totally different laws of physics, right? It can't possibly be a good thing. People, please see this. I don't know. If please God, don't let this be what's happening, because I'm just going to fucking lose it. And just go, okay, there's no use talking anymore. Okay.
Right.
There's no use talking. I'm just taking off my shirt. Here I fucking come. Because I'm not going to let that world land on my children and grandchildren without a fucking fight. I'm telling you now, I will not. I'm 74, an old man, and what can I do? I don't fucking know. I'm one devious motherfucker, I will tell you that. I don't know, organize a fucking revolution against corruption. I don't fucking know. But you all should be feeling the same as me. Surely, those of you who have children, is that the world you want passed on to your children? The world defined by an artificially designed safety net to save you against these viruses? We will need, that's bullshit. Do you understand that, first of all, the viruses we're talking about, like coronavirus, is like the flu. It's fucking airborne. It doesn't matter who you've come in contact with. Do you understand? We're living in a soup of viruses, people. Do you know how tiny they are? Viruses. What's their prime target? Not human beings. Bacteria. They love bacteria. Bacteria have their own defenses against viruses, because a virus is so tiny that when it injects its DNA into a bacteria, for every bacteria that they infect, 10,000 viruses emerge. Do you understand what a boon? So now, every single bacteria, they're saying we should wear face masks. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've worn one, but they are warm and get moist from your breath. Now, that doesn't help viruses for jack shit, because they can't do anything. They're going to have a living thing. Warm, wet doesn't mean shit to them. Warm does. But bacteria, oh, they love it, you know, and the bacteria are going to get on there, and they're going, oh, my God, a warm, wet environment. And they're going to multiply like mad. And eventually, you're going to get viruses on that mask, and suddenly, you're breathing through a sea of viruses. We're breathing viruses every breath that we take in. Our bodies have just learned over 50 million years to adapt to this constant sea of parasites and death. And in the end, it's viruses that take us out. In all cases, people, whether it's the cancer, whether it's the fucking virus. So, if you're buying this story that if we track everybody's movements and everybody will know exactly where the viruses are, no, please, God, we're swimming in a soup of them. How in the world is that going to track jack shit? Yeah, it'll track bacteria. Bacteria are easier. They're not airborne. Well, I mean, if you sneeze one out, it might go 3 feet and fall to the ground. Too heavy. I hope those viruses float over the air and can travel hundreds of fucking miles. Please, don't buy this, children. Well, if this is what's happening, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If this is what's happening, I'm not sure that it is. You brought it up. I did not deny it as a possibility. If it is, for God's sake, use your heads. Don't blindly follow it, because it's authority. Don't blindly go, well, it has to be the right thing. It's our government. They're there to care for us. No. They're there to prey on you, people. That's what they have been doing for 100 years. Ever since our Constitution was completely unraveled in 1913. No, they're not there for your good. and they don't give a shit about you. They give a shit about the volume of people who will vote for them and who you are specifically. They don't give a flying fuck. Can you write your name? Can you push a button? Good. We love you. No, children. No, it's not for your good. Nothing coming from the government is for your good. It's for their good. It's for those in power, for the party leaders, for the congressmen who serve 8 terms, for those clever enough, corrupt enough, sneaky enough to get their hand into the till to grab as much of your money as they can, shove it into their pockets and backpacks before they're thrown out, and that's it.
Yeah. There's yeah, and I mean, if you haven't, you know, if you've watched these people just looting the country, you know, over the last, you know, I mean, like you said, the last 100 years, but particularly over the last 3 or 4 decades, the looting of the, really since we went off the gold standard, how it just took all the chains off of just robbing America.
Oh, yeah, we can now rob whoever we want.
Yeah.
It's all it's all paperwork. It's all papers. Don't worry. We can always print more money. Yeah. Big deal. Isn't that something?
So you've obviously been in the tech space for a lot of your adult life. And it seems to me, like I was talking about with the contact tracing and other things, it seems like there's this weird like competing force where technology is kind of our best hope in many ways for the future. It's what's allowing us to have this conversation right now. It's what allows people to challenge authority and have a voice where they wouldn't have had it in years past. But it's also this weapon for the government to track people. So it's kind of like who gets control of the technology. I think the computer geniuses are going to be, you know, either the
But here's the thing. The government has the ultimate power. The government can come and arrest the computer genius, shut down his company, sue him.
And turn him, oftentimes.
And turn him, bribe them. If that doesn't work, threaten them. You think we don't threaten people in this country? Jesus, we even threaten presidents. Good God Almighty, it happened. So now, the question is not who owns the technology, because ultimately the government will own it if they can. And if they can't, they'll take it. And if they can't do that, they'll destroy it. If they can't do that, they will outlaw it with such severe penalties that no one dare touch it. Look at the people in prison today who, Julian Assange, the Silk Road founder. I mean, God, they were their pioneers in technology. Let's use technology for this. How about finding the truth out about the fucking government? Who can deny that's a good thing? Well, the government certainly denied it. And after some years of an awkward dance, Julian is now in prison and will never get out again. You know this. I know this. We all know this. No, it's not who owns it. It's why do we, the people, allow the government to turn technology against us. I mean, taking a technology and designing a system that will track your every fucking movement and who you come in contact with is no different than the government designing a new hand with a 50-round magazine and the fastest firing rate in the world, and breaking into your house and pointing it at your head and saying, give me your shit or I'm going to shoot you. What is the difference? Now, if they did that, would we allow it? No. But the government says, well, we developed a gun. It's ours. We get to use it how we want. No, we wouldn't let that happen yet because we don't understand. See, we understand the gun. I'm like, fuck, oh, you're right. The new gun that they can outshoot the pockets. Everybody, every soldier and policeman will have one. Well, no, we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to let that be a means for stealing from you. Do you understand? Yes, you can have those guns, but you can only use them in these situations. You can't just go out and randomly threaten people or force people out of the house. house because you want to search them. Hey, we're going to shoot you if you don't get out of the house. We want to search to see if you have any contraband, like comic books, sex magazines, what have you. They get to choose what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's a fact, and what's fiction. And we are living people in 1984. Now, they just haven't rolled out the machine yet that powers it. Please, God, do something before that happens.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're working to roll it out now.
Yeah, I don't know. We have time for one more question.
Oh, sure. So I wanted to ask you, because this is something I struggle with a little bit, like where to fall on this issue. So I don't know if you've seen, but Trump is threatening this executive order against the social media companies for like banning people or rating things as false. That, now, I don't like the government doing anything to anyone, but I do have to say it really does concern me how these social media companies can just kind of unperson people and censor people who are a threat to the establishment. Do you have a feeling or an opinion on how we should work that out one way or the other?
I think that censorship in any way, state, or form, whether it's banning videos of savages disemboweling children and eating their guts while they're alive, or what, censorship is what you choose to do, all right? And you click on it and you go, fuck me, and you move on, right? I'm sorry, that's what life is. I can't make life safe for you people. I can't. I mean, it's stupid enough to go out in Harlem if you're a young white dude, wearing cargo pants and singing some white Southern cracker Confederate song. Well, I'm sorry, listen, I can't help you. You have to accept the responsibility of the dangers of life, people. One of them is falling into a site that has child porn or something, the most horrific thing you can imagine. Well, let's face facts. Apparently it is happening because it was videoed. If you don't want, I want that to be available so that I can fucking see the horror that people are talking about. Wouldn't that be far better to get the truth of what life is instead of someone's third-hand opinion? So, no, I don't think censorship of anything at all, nothing, should exist. What concerns me far greater than that, as a more immediate fucking problem, which has to be addressed, is movements like Twitter, the forming of a committee to establish a fact. Is this a fact or is it fake news? Whoa, now we're getting into some heavy, heavy shit. So you're going to have a committee. I don't give a shit how many people want to make it 10 million, make all of them PhDs and whatever. They're not going to know what a fucking fact is any more than you are. Because what is a fact? Fact is nothing more than your considered opinion on the veracity of a statement, a picture, a story, an event, a reality. No two of us ever see the same, I promise you. I mean, I hate to dig into Indian mythology, I mean the continent India, to talk about the four blind men who stumbled upon an elephant for the first time. And we all know, since we can see what an elephant is, what it looks like, but they haven't seen, never experienced an elephant. And one bumps in to the side of the elephant and says, oh, it's like a rough wall, round and huge. And the other guy who stumbled on the leg and he's got his arms around the leg going, what are you smoking, motherfucker? An elephant's like a tree. A huge tree trunk. It's warm and almost moving somehow. And the guy that found the tail goes, all right, you guys are fucking with me, aren't you? Because I'm experiencing the elephants. And it's kind of like, well, I don't know, a long whip with a fuzzy end on it. Maybe used to sweep a floor. I mean, we'll have to discuss it. And the other guys go, you're all fucking crazy. And the guy that stumbled on the trunk goes, okay, all three of you are fucking with me because an elephant is like a huge boa constrictor. This long, well, it's, I don't know, at least 6 feet long and round is my biceps with this odd thing at the end. And so they're arguing now. And these blind men who were friends before end up murdering one another because the others would not accept the truth. This is where we are, people. We are now in that fucking reality. We're all blind, and all we have is what the mainstream media tells us, what we see with our own eyes. And if you say, well, I saw Trump say this, or I saw Biden say that, well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he did. But 99.99% of you didn't watch the whole speech, and it might have gone on for 2 hours, and CNN only took 9 seconds of Trump's speech, and it was spliced together, and Fox only took 7 seconds of Biden's speech. Both of them look like utter assholes, right? You don't have any more truth after watching that video. No, you're just more deceived by either yourself or others. I mean, here's the problem with politics is if someone says they have an answer, like, I know what to do about the Middle East, I know what to do about immigration, I know what to do about the deficit. I mean, unless they're already in a position of power where they can know those things, then you don't know jack shit. Our government exists behind one of the most severe veils of secrecy ever created in this world. But we know jack shit about what they're doing and what the reality is. And they use the media as their propaganda arm, whereas we are not allowed to have secrets. Not the people. We can't have fucking secrets. No, give me your phone. I want to see who your contacts are. They can do that. Can we say, well, give us your balance sheet. I want to see where my tax dollars went. No, we can't. We can't. So anybody who says, I know what to do, they're either lying to you or they are lying to themselves. There is no other option, people. And I have to leave you now. I'm so sorry.
No, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us, and best of luck going forward.
Thank you very much, my friend.
All right. That's the great John McAfee, everybody. Thank you for listening very much, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Like I said, we're going to play a short clip from the Peddling Fiction podcast right now. Make sure you go check that out at peddlingfictionpodcast.com.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
And libertarians are better Democrats than the Democrats and better Republicans than the Republicans. A Republican president, a Republican-controlled Congress, presided over the biggest expansion of government up to that point in history. And what's going to happen when they realize that Social Security is nothing but a racist, sexist, ageist, Ponzi scheme? I mean, how badly do you have to screw something up before we finally conclude that maybe government can't solve this problem? The free market is the ultimate expression of democracy. I do the show 2 days a week. It's a free show. You sure you don't want to see some evidence to back up any of their claims before you get us into another war? Their entire existence is exploitative. Everything they eat, everything they drink, the roof over their heads. It was all paid for from theft at the threat of violence. Isn't it interesting that an education system run by the government somehow churns out a bunch of people who favor the government handling everything? That's the type of accounting that would get you thrown in prison if anybody else were to do it. But that's how the federal government operates. Black, white, Indian, Asian, rich, poor, short, tall, everybody benefits from freer markets. Libertarianism is principled, it's philosophically sound. In the arena of ideas, we cannot be defeated. This is the Peddling Fiction Podcast, the voice and soul of so-called fiction. follow me on Twitter at Pedal Fiction. Download and subscribe. And no matter what happens, keep on peddling that so-called fiction.